Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. And we're on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. We have a really fun show for you today. We're going to be doing a mock of the NFL draft. So we're going to be drafting as though we are NFL GMs. And we've got a guest joining us today. It's Paul Pertichese, co-owner and co-host of Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. Paul, we really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Really looking forward to doing this. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's our pleasure. Paul is the perfect person to bring on for this because I was talking to him. He's got dynasty notes. He's one of these Devy guys that has notes on like 300 plus players in the draft class. And he's pretty pumped about it as much as Tags and I are to always do this episode where we're going to be drafting, maybe even some trades. It's going to be a lot of fun just to give you a sneak preview of what the draft may look like. Now, obviously, it's not going to be exactly the same. No mock draft really is because it's just so messy, right, Tags?
It really is messy, and it's important that we note at the top of this one is that we are not mocking as if what we think teams are going to do, because I have my own thoughts on what teams are, I think they're going to do, and that's what we do in the articles, but this podcast is going to be so much fun because we're actually going to be drafting for these teams for what we feel like we would do if we were the GM, and I think that's going to make for some interesting picks on the board. I think we're going to see some people, I think people are listening, and they're probably going to be like, whoa, this guy's not being mocked until like maybe the second round sometimes, and you're like, no, I like him that much and I would move him up my draft board and I feel like he's a bit undervalued. So I've been looking forward to this episode all week.
I absolutely have as well. And before we get into the picks here, because we've got the first pick coming up in just a moment, I want to tell you all about pristineauction.com. And you know, Tags and I just love getting stuff from pristineauction.com. I saw some killer values again last night, Tags. A Nick Chubb signed Browns jersey for $55. I mean, I guess if you're buying a Browns jersey, you might want to get Beckham or Baker Mayfield. And so that's why values like this happen. I saw another one, a Lane Johnson signed Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl helmet. Went for $50. Tags, I've never seen one like that for a helmet.
You can't even get a helmet for like that. Like that, I tell people this all the time. You can't buy an actual helmet for less than $100. And to get one signed by Lane Johnson? Come on.
And Paul, you got a great value on something yesterday, was it?
Yeah, absolutely. I made my first purchase last night at Pristine Auction. I was able to get a Jabril Peppers Michigan signed jersey for $37.
Are you a Michigan guy or is it just, you know, a bit, you're a big Devy guy, so you like all the college football?
Yeah, I mean, I liked Peppers when he was coming out of college, and then obviously trying to wrap my head around this OBJ trade. So just trying to get behind Peppers a little bit as a Giants fan, and I saw that deal. I thought it was too good to pass up.
That's awesome, man. I absolutely love it. Pristine Auction, guys, you are going to find something definitely for your cave. They auction off hundreds of items every day. Everything's guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. Again, it's pristineauction.com, P-R-I. STINE. And we do have a giveaway going on right now, Tags, at fantasypros.com/contest. You want to tell them a little bit about it?
The newest one is a Davante Adams. I'm losing track. We're giving away so much stuff, guys. We're giving away a Davante Adams signed helmet right now. It's just to add to your collection. It's a full-size helmet. Legitimately, your kid will probably want to put it on. I know the ones that I have in my house, my kid wants to grab them off the shelf all the time, and I tell him it's a no-go for him. But if you guys want to get a free Davante Adams autographed helmet, check it out, fantasypros.com/contest.
You know, the mini helmets fit really well in some stuffed animals, too, Tags. You should show that to them.
I have one mini helmet, and it's just sitting up. It's like it holds my books up.
There you go. All right. So here's what it comes down to. I have 10 picks. The other guys have 11 picks, and we can trade them or we can just make the pick. I'm going to be keeping track on the board if you're watching on YouTube. Our YouTube channel, by the way, is youtube.com/fantasypros. Check that out. Subscribe. That way we can keep doing fun stuff like this. Now, Tex, you have the first pick. You're sitting on the clock with Arizona. Are you going to try to trade it, or are you going to take Kyler Murray, maybe one of these defensive linemen?
Yeah, I did try and trade this pick. We had some negotiations beforehand, but it seems like nobody wants to move up to the number one spot in this draft, and I can't say that I blame them. And unless there's any last second takers, I'm going to go ahead and make my pick here. I did want to trade out because I feel like the Cardinals do have a lot of holes in their roster. They're not a team that's going to compete necessarily right now. So I'm going to take a long-term investment here. I'm going to go with, you know what? I'm going to take Joey Bosa from the Chargers. So Nick Bosa is his brother, obviously. And I actually script their names all the time because like when watching them on film, they're the same player. Like they are almost identical. So I feel like by taking a can't miss prospect like Bosa here, I feel like a defensive end is like, this is what you pay for. You know, like when you get to free agency in a draft, you'll see a lot of defensive ends towards the top. And as much as people think that I should be taking Kyler Murray here, I am not going to give up on Josh Rosen, somebody that we traded up for last year after 1 year in a bad offense. I feel like that we have to build the team around him, and Bosa is a long-term solution on that defense. The Terrell Suggs signing, it's just a one-year deal. He's a rotational player right now, so Chandler Jones and Bosa together, it'll be phenomenal.
Yeah, that'll be dirty. Paul, is that who you would take number one, or would you go with Kyler Murray if you were the Cardinals?
No, I would have taken Bosa as well. I just love Bosa's versatility. You know, whether they play 3-4, 4-3, interchange them, he can stand up and rush from there. He can play to run great. So if you want to play him as that like 5-tech defensive end, if they want to look at some 4-3 looks, he can play regular base defensive end as well. So really versatile, great run stopper, good gunning after the quarterback as well. I think that would have been the pick.
All right, guys, I've got pick number two, and I've got the San Francisco 49ers. Our producer is like super nervous right now that I'm going to draft Kyler Murray and just blow the whole thing up. Of course, I'm not going to do that. Does anyone want to trade up for this pick?
No.
No, I'm okay where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm just going to, I mean, they need wide receiver, safety help, obviously. Those are their two big needs, but they could also use defensive linemen. So that's what I'm going to go ahead and do. And Tags, I know you were hoping that this guy would drop, but he's too good to pass up. Quinnen Williams, let's add him to the 49ers.
Quinnen Williams is, he's a monster. And I know that some people are starting to suggest that he might fall in the draft being a defensive tackle, and they typically don't go as high as some people would think. But, you know, I just feel like towards the top of the draft, I have no issue with it, because I feel like when you have a top three pick, you know, top five pick, whatever, you should be taking can't miss players. And I feel like Quinnen Williams may not have the impact that some of the other guys at defensive end might have, but I don't feel like those guys are sure things as Quinnen Williams. Like the guys, he's only got 1 year on the resume of like consistent, like, you know, phenomenal production, but it's basically all he had to deliver. So
was he the best player in the nation? I would say probably.
I would say that he's almost as safe as Bosa. I don't want to go that far just because Bosa has a bigger sample size, plays a more important position, but I have no issue with Quinnen Williams playing alongside DeForest Buckner. None.
You know, I saw that Evan Silva had Quinnen Williams mocked at Jacksonville, and you all know I'm a Jacksonville fan. At number seven, that would be amazing. Paul, how far do you think he could drop?
Yeah, I have a hard time imagining he gets past four, to be honest with you. And I mean, I even think that if Arizona is smoke screening and really was thinking about taking, you know, keeping Josh Rosen, not taking Kyler Murray, I even think he could be in play at one. I think he is on par with Nick Bosa as being the best two prospects in this class.
Okay, so you've got pick number three with the New York Jets, and you're a New York guy, but you're a Giants fan. So I'll be interested to see if you you know, just make the Jets fans suffer here.
Yeah, so I mean, I think this is a pretty clear pick. While they have some needs along the offensive line, I think their biggest need is edge rusher. They obviously went and tried to get a guy who some people were unsure if he was even a true edge rusher, and Anthony Barr. That ended up not working out in free agency. So right here with this pick, I'm taking Josh Allen out of Kentucky, the edge rusher, great size frame, athletic, good speed, movement skills, great first step, bend, rush, can drop in coverage a little bit. He really can do everything at the linebacker position or that edge rusher position. So he's very versatile, play all three downs. I think he's exactly what they need there. And possibly, you know, breaking the hearts of some Oakland Raider fans who maybe were thinking of him replacing Khalil Mack.
You know, I think some people are wondering if there's really going to be, you know, this many defensive players selected at the top. And I say the answer is yes. I think Josh Allen is the clear number three. I know other people don't exactly see it that way, but this is 1, 2, 3 on my big board. It's not just a need. He's the third best player. Is that where you have him two tags?
I don't have Josh Allen as the third best player. I have no issue with him going as a top five pick. I think that I think there's still some question marks I have about his game. Like, I don't think he's as sure a thing as Bosa and Williams at the top. But once you get to Allen, to Montez Sweat, to Clelin Ferrell, you know, those are the guys. It's like, you know, if you're looking for an edge rusher, I don't think you can necessarily go wrong with any of those guys. Josh Allen, the thing with me, what I'm curious about is the Jets. What are they going to run under Greg Williams? Are they going to go to his traditional 4-3 scheme? Because I think Josh Allen's better in a 3-4 as an outside linebacker. And that's the reason I haven't mocked him to the Jets to this point. I give them someone else in that spot just because I feel like edge is important for them. But it just depends on the scheme they're running. I just don't think he would be as good in a 4-3 defense as he would in a 3-4. That's my only concern with Josh Allen.
Okay, who are you going with there then?
I can't tell you because obviously I'm running the GM for the team behind this, so I don't want to give away my picks.
All right, so at pick number 4, Tags, you've got this one as well. It's the Oakland Raiders. Are you going to make the pick or are you going to trade out?
We actually had a trade agreed to, contingent on the fact that a player would be available for the Giants. And are the Giants still satisfied with the deals of our trade? And I can announce it?
Yeah, the Giants are satisfied. Put it in.
All right, very good. So I am trading away the number 4 pick. I'm moving back to number 6 with the New York Giants. And in exchange, I'm going to give them my number 4 pick. I'm going to give them my second and third round picks next year. They're giving me their number 6 pick and
nice.
Their first round pick in 2020. So next year. So I feel like it's a solid trade for both franchises. He's looking to move up for somebody here. So I think as the Raiders, I feel like we can get our guy at 6.
Who's it going to be, Paul?
Yeah, so with the fourth pick, the New York Giants are going to select quarterback Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State. I think it's finally time. The Giants need to answer the bell at the quarterback position. Love the size, the arm talent, the intermediate accuracy. He can push the ball vertically down the field, even though it's not what he was asked to do too often at Ohio State. But for Shurmur's offense, the receivers that are now in place there without Odell Beckham, I think that's the range, and he fits their scheme perfectly. He's a Jersey kid, grew up a Giants fan, and I think he's the kind of guy who represents the franchise well, as him and Saquon Barkley, now the faces of the franchise.
So I'm surprised that Haskins is the first one off the board over Murray. Now, I agree with you, Paul. I just figured Murray would be the first one pick. It's going to be interesting to see how far he does end up sliding here now that Jacksonville has their quarterback. Otherwise, you know, 2 weeks ago, it would have probably been Kyler Murray to the Jags. I wouldn't have been super excited about it, but, you know, they did need a quarterback. I would argue they still do, but with 4 years, it doesn't look like we're getting out of Nick Foles for a while. So I have the 5th pick with Tampa Bay. You know, my guy is still there. Tampa Bay could use a defensive back, a running back, defensive end. Do you want to move up with Cincinnati or Miami, Paul?
I'd be intrigued. Miami would be intrigued to come up, or Cincinnati from 11 or 13 if the price is right.
What are we looking at? With Miami, would they include their first next season to move all the way up to 5?
I think they would be looking to maybe do a 2 this year and a 2 next year.
I think that's a fair compromise. Because I would like to get a defensive back for Tampa Bay, but I'm not reaching at 5. I would have probably grabbed Greedy Williams. But yeah, let's go ahead and do that. I'll add 2 second-round picks this year and next year. And who are you going to move up and grab with Miami?
Yeah, I think the Dolphins are looking to make a big splash. There was a lot of talk that they were maybe going to wait to next year to try to get Tua Tagovailoa out of Alabama as their big guy. But the opportunity here to jump up and get probably the biggest splash player in the draft, which is Kyler Murray, quarterback out of Oklahoma. Listen, I compared him. I think he, similarly to Russell Wilson in terms of his throwing ability, making things in the pocket happen, playing off structure, that ability to throw from different platforms and different angles, keeping his eyes down the field, a lot of similarities. I think this is the big splash that the owner of the Dolphins would want to make, and I think this is the clear guy to kind of, you know, hopefully finally bring Miami back, as they've never really had a top-level quarterback since Dan Marino, and maybe eventually Tom Brady will retire and the Dolphins can make a move in that division.
This is a fun one. And you know, Tags, usually when we do these drafts, we're all just kind of like, oh, I don't really like these top end quarterbacks. And so we don't see these guys go in the top 5 picks. But I think this is kind of how it could look. Do you like Kyler Murray going to the Dolphins?
I have no issue with them taking Kyler Murray there.
I mean, if he dropped at 13, that would be a great pick. I could definitely see them moving up to 5 if he's still on the board.
Yeah, Kyler Murray's not going to last outside the top, I mean, eight picks maybe. Like, I honestly don't think he lasts outside the top five. I think there would be a trade at some point if some team really did want him. And I think there are teams that do want him. I don't know if the first round pick, like the first pick overall, if that's overblown, if that's just like a story because the media is drumming it up because it just creates buzz around the NFL draft. Because it seemed pretty boring, you know, like when Kyler Murray, this is the crazy part with him. And the part where I'm having difficulty seeing him go number one is because, you know, you have the competition committee that came out and said he's a third round pick. We suggest you go back to school or you go play baseball. They basically said that they feel like he would be a third round pick. And then all of a sudden, He announces, I'm leaving baseball behind. I'm going to play football. And it's like, now he's the number one overall pick. He's a can't miss prospect. I don't feel that way about Kyler Murray. And that's why I wouldn't be drafting him as the Cardinals. I just feel like you should take a sure player and like rebuild your franchise. Understand that. But Kyler Murray, I don't think it's a bad pick, though. I think he's an upside pick. And I think that the Dolphins are hoping that history doesn't repeat itself. And the fact that, you know, the quarterbacks under 5'11 typically have issues in the NFL. But, you know, Doug Flutie, he got by. And Kyler Murray can as well. It's just a matter.
He's such a freak, man.
I think he's fine for the Dolphins. I think it's an upside pick, but now the question is, what would they do with Ryan Fitzpatrick on the 2-year deal that they just gave him? So the Raiders are on the clock here, and the guy that I actually was going to debate taking Dwayne Haskins there at 6 if he fell, depending on who went in front of me, but instead I'm going to take a defensive end, going to build my franchise again. The edge rushers in Oakland right now are a travesty. They need help. I don't think that Arden Key is a long-term solution either, so I'm going to take a guy that again, people are going to think this one's a bit of a reach, but I'm okay with it because I love the player. Clelin Ferrell, I watched him at Clemson, and I know a lot of people will often drag players down because, well, they were part of a dominant defense. I felt like Ferrell was one of those guys that helped make that defense that brought it to the next level. Like, I think that he can defend the run. He can get after the passer. He's got the size you want. He plays in a 4-3 that we have in Oakland. So I feel like trading back to 6, we have a first-round pick next year because of this, too. So I'm loving the pick.
It's a lot more manageable. If you would have taken him at 4, there would have been some heads turning there. But I know Ferrell's your guy. I actually had him queued up thinking you were probably going to pick him here.
Yeah, definitely. I'm happy to get him here at 6. I know some people might not like it, but trust me, when you see him play, he'll be the best edge rusher that Oakland has.
Okay. What do you think about this pick, Paul?
I think it's a solid pick. I think for some reason he's going under the radar a little bit, which is mind-boggling considering, you know, he played for Clemson, national title, you know, all that stuff. And I think right there, you know, we had Bosa, we had Allen. I think he's right there in the mix with the next tier of pass rushers, and I think he has the most production on paper by far, so I think it's a good pick.
All right, guys, it's my Jags at pick number 7, and now that Murray and Haskins are off the board, I'm assuming the Bengals are not interested in moving up, Paul?
That is correct. Bengals are going to have to live and die another year.
I don't like this pick for the Jags at number 7. I would love if one of the three defensive specialists, Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, would drop. It's obviously not going to happen. I wouldn't mind Ferrell so much at this point. They don't really need help on the defensive line. Tevin Bryan should be healthy this year. With that said, Ed Oliver did drop, and I know a lot of people have him even dropping down past pick 12 and everything like that, but with him on the board, I was going to go get an offensive lineman if I could move back to pick 11, 12, 13 and go get Andre Dillard, but I'm not picking him at 7, so let's go ahead and go Ed Oliver here. What do you guys think about this fit, Paul, first?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ed Oliver is another guy who, you know, if you would have done a mock draft before the college football season started, just kind of projecting the players, Oliver's name probably would have been one of the first two or three names mentioned right there with Nick Bosa. You know, I think, you know, some of that stuff with his coach at Houston, his lack of production, but they really didn't ask him to do what he needs to do. He's a penetrating three tech, get in the backfield. They were asking him to kind of set the edge and stuff the run and play some nose tackle and take on multiple blocks and multiple offensive linemen. If you just ask him to get after the quarterback, I think he checked the box in terms of his size and his frame. I think he could be a double-digit sack guy from the interior. I love the pick.
They don't really care. The Jags are one of these teams that just takes the best player available. They didn't need a defensive lineman last year, and they took Bryan, which surprised a lot of people. And, you know, we're not even sure that Bryan is going to be everything that we expected him to be, so I don't see why you don't just take the best player on the board. And in my opinion, that's Oliver. Tags, what do you think? Would the Jags possibly do this?
I don't know if the Jags do this. I think the Jags would, in my opinion, I know it's going to seem early for some people, but take the top receiver on your board, get a big wide receiver for Nick Foles, because right now on that roster, I don't think they have that guy. I mean, Marquise Lee coming back from another injury, he hasn't been able to stay on the field his entire career. That's been a problem. Dede Westbrook is playing the slot for them.
So you're thinking Metcalf then, right?
I think Metcalf would be the fit for me. It's like
I would puke if the Jags did that at 7.
he's a 50-50 guy. You could throw the ball up to him. You know, if you wanted someone else, like if you like a different receiver, that's fine. But I just want them to get a big body receiver for Nick Foles because I don't like the fit for Nick Foles in Jacksonville right now. And he needs an outlet. And he doesn't have it, whether it be a tight end or a wide receiver. He needs one. Tight end is way too early to take one at 7. You can get one in the second, third round. I think you'll be happy with. So I just feel like they need to get Foles some weapons. Otherwise, he's just going to look bad.
All right, let's move on to pick number 8. And Tags, you've got this one with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I'm picking to my scheme here. So this offseason for the Lions has been a little different. You know, lost a few players, signed a few players. We did get Justin Coleman from the Seahawks, so he's going to fill the slot role that we've had issues with over the last few years. We have Darius Slay out there. We do play heavy man coverage. We play in a very quarterback driven division, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, Mitch Trubisky, Kirk Cousins. So it's like we're continually going up against some big name quarterbacks. So we're going to select a cornerback that I don't necessarily think is my top cornerback in the draft, but I think he's the best for their scheme, and that is Greedy Williams.
Paul, do you have Greedy Williams as your number one cornerback in this draft class?
Yeah, I do. I mean, the length and his speed, I think, are two things that you just can't teach. I think he's right up there. Him and Byron Murphy out of Washington are my top two corners. They're the only two guys who I think deserve to go in round one, to be honest with you. So I think Greedy Williams or Murphy both, you know, could be pushed up the board a little bit because I don't think there's a lot of really solid cornerbacks in this class that you can kind of plug and play in as starters. So I think these guys might get pushed up the board a little bit because if you don't take them in round one, I don't know if they're going to be too satisfied with who's sitting there, you know, on day two and then obviously day three at the cornerback position.
Yeah, and I want to clarify about that just because Byron Murphy is my top corner, but I think that he's more fit for his own scheme and the Lions are one of the heaviest man coverage teams. So that's why I went with Greedy over Byron Murphy.
I agree 100%.
Number 9, you've got the Buffalo Bills. Are we going to see our first wide receiver taken off the board here?
No, I'm actually going to pivot to the offensive line. I think they need to fortify that offensive line in front of Josh Allen. I think the wide receivers that are going to be available in round two still are going to be a lot of the top tier wide receivers. So I'm kind of banking on that. So I'm going to take the top offensive tackle in the draft, in many people's opinion, and that is Juwan Taylor out of Florida. Great size and frame, 3-year starter, above average athleticism, great length, play strength, power, great in the run blocking, also very good in pass blocking as well. Immediate plug and play starter, need to start building up that offensive line to kind of protect their rookie quarterback.
Tags, I've been seeing a lot of Jonah Williams love. I like Andre Dillard. Is Juwan Taylor your favorite offensive lineman?
It really depends. I think Jonah Williams might be the safest one, but I'm not in love. I like Kadusi out of West Virginia. I think Cody Ford is pretty stable, but he might be a better guard. Juwan Taylor's fine. Like, he's one of the, like, I have four offensive linemen up there who I feel like you can make the argument for any one of them. I don't feel like it's a great offensive, like, I feel like they're solid tackles here. I think it's a weak guard class. Interior is just weak overall. I just don't feel like it's as strong as last year. I don't think there's a Mike McGlinchey that I felt great about McGlinchey last year, and I thought he was being undervalued. So to see the 49ers take him inside the top 10, I wasn't shocked. I know a lot of people were, and he's turned into a solid right tackle. Juwan Taylor, I have no issue with this because they do need to fix their offensive line, and I don't think LaAdrian Waddle is the signing that is going to fix it. So, I mean, they've added a lot of pieces there in Buffalo this offseason, but unfortunately, the worst thing you can do in free agency is sign players and still have a need at that position. And I think that the Bills did that, which that's why I don't think they go offensive line, although I do believe that they should.
Yeah, I think that they should as well. I'm not sure what they're going to do, man. They're like fully invested in Josh Allen, so maybe they're going to go get him a big body receiver and see what he can do. I think that's a bad idea, but I love the pick. I would like to see them get an offensive lineman. Now, Tags, I'm sweating here at number 12. You've got Denver on the clock, and I've got a guy that, oh man, I would be so pumped if they dropped to Green Bay. Tex, who you taking with Denver?
I am, so a lot of people are going to expect me to draft a quarterback here, but I'm not. I don't want to reach. I feel like Drew Lock, there's some potential there, but there's also some concerns that I have, relying on his arm way too much at times. And I just feel like to invest a top 10 pick, I don't think we need to do that right now. I think we continue to build this defense under Vic Fangio.
I would imagine one of Drew Lock or Daniel Jones will be there in the second round if they really want to go that route.
Daniel Jones might. Drew Lock isn't going to be. Drew Lock's not going to make it out of the top 15. That's for sure. He won't, but I'm not taking him in this mock draft. I'm going to go the same way that Vic Fangio did last year with the Bears. I'm going to take a linebacker. I'm going to go with Devin White. There's two linebackers.
You big jerk.
There's two linebackers in this draft that deserve to be first round picks, arguably top 15 picks, and Devin White is one of them out of LSU. He's a monster, man.
Yeah, I thought about trading up, man. Because I've got those two first-round picks with Green Bay, and that would have been a sweet landing spot.
And it was a need, too. It was a clear need after releasing Brandon Marshall this offseason. So I think Devin White is a perfect fit. I couldn't have been happier for him to fall to us at 10. So, yep, that's my pick.
All right, Devin White to Denver. Paul, what do you think about that pick? And then who are you taking with Cincinnati at number 11?
Yeah, I love that pick. It was he was a guy who, as the Giants GM, I was thinking about maybe trying to make a move up from 17 to try to get White to be the anchor of that defense in the middle. He is my top linebacker. There's another guy right on his heels that I'm sure we're going to hear soon. I love his play strength, his sideline to sideline capabilities, immediate impact starter, very good blitzer. Obviously, at the combine, we saw his athleticism and his ability to basically do everything. I think he, just like Roquan Smith last year, warranted being this high of a pick and can totally change the dynamics of a defense. So at pick 11 for the Bengals, just got sniped there, pick 10, but not going to worry too much because I think that there is another linebacker warranted of being selected in the top 15 picks. And I'm going the other Devin Bush out of Michigan. Love his three down capabilities, his sideline to sideline ability. I think he also can play weak side in a 4-3, inside in a 3-4. Good tackler, great athleticism, good cover skills. I like Devin Bush. I think the Bengals need to upgrade the linebacker position. Obviously, Vontaze Burfict no longer there, no longer their problem. They need to put somebody in that defense that could be a playmaking sideline to sideline linebacker, and I think that's Devin Bush.
I'm really disappointed. I was going to grab him since I wasn't able to grab the other Devin. Green Bay is going to go cornerback now. I think that we all probably saw this coming. Byron Murphy is still on the board, so I'm going to go ahead and grab him and just feel bad for myself.
Ooh, that's the first one that I would be, it would be a head scratcher. I love the player, but the Packers have, they've invested too much in Kevin King, Josh Jackson, Jair Alexander. Like over the last 3 years, they've invested into those guys. They do need some depth at cornerback. That's absolutely positively I'm sure of that. They definitely do. But basically drafting at 12, they're not getting they wouldn't start Byron Marshall. I mean, I'd start him over Kevin King, but it's like, do you want to bring that on and say, we made a mistake by drafting Kevin King already?
I would. I mean, I think the Packers did enough this offseason that they can compete now. I think that Murphy can help them this year. And it's just a matter of filling those holes. They've got a hole there at cornerback. They've got a hole at wide receiver. And we'll see about that. And they've got a hole at linebacker. Those are their three holes. Byron Murphy's on the board, and he's the best of those three players. I know you would go wide receiver here, Tags, but I'm not especially enthralled with the top of the wide receiver class this year.
Yeah, no, I and that's the thing. There's definitely some things I could see for the Packers here. Paul, what's your take? Do you think that they could move on from one of those cornerbacks? I obviously not from Jackson or Alexander, but do you think that it's possible that the Packers move on from Kevin King or move him down the depth chart?
Yeah, I think it's possible, but I could see them pivoting to a different position instead of cornerback. I think they still are probably, like you said, heavily invested in that position. I like the player, like you said, so I think this is fine in terms of, you know, draft capital, in terms of value, but I do think they probably have some more pressing needs. I probably would have went the offensive route. I think there's a couple offensive players that would have intrigued me there to add a little bit different dynamic on their offensive side. So I probably would have went offense there, probably a playmaker, to be honest, after they went so heavy in free agency on the defensive side.
Anyone want to trade up for this next pick?
No, the Ravens were in trade talks earlier before the draft, but they've backed away from that. They wanted to potentially get into the top 12, but now that Devin White and Devin Bush are gone, I've kind of backed away from that.
I'm sitting firm with the upcoming picks I got.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and draft Montez Sweat for Tampa Bay then.
That's a solid pick. I don't even know if he lasts that far. I think he might now that there's like this heart condition thing that came out. So it's been just recently it came out that he's been cleared, but the fact that there is some sort of condition, it can actually slide him down draft boards. Montez Sweat, I felt like watching him. If you want to take Montez Sweat over Josh Allen, like even before the combine, I would have been okay with that. And I know a lot of people love the combine, obviously, for Sweat. He had a great one showing off his athleticism, but I just think that they are different players, but I like Sweat, and I think it's obviously a need for the Bucs, so I have no issue with that pick at all.
Guys, we are 13 picks in, and we have three offensive players selected, two quarterbacks, one offensive lineman, and we're on to Atlanta for the next pick. Tags, I believe this is you.
Yeah, it is, and I don't like where I'm at. This is a weird spot. If anybody wanted to trade up, I am all about that life. But I don't think that's going to happen. So instead of just waiting for offers to come in, I am just going to go ahead and take an offensive player. It's not a skill position player, but I'm going to go take Jonah Williams out of Alabama. I feel like bookending that offensive line with Jake Matthews and him would be phenomenal. I feel like Ryan Schrader, he's been fine, but I feel like you can upgrade that offensive line, get a little bit younger. And Jonah Williams, as I mentioned, I feel like he's just one of the safer offensive tackles in this draft. So the Falcons right now, protecting Matt Ryan, getting that pass game going, that's important. So I'll take Jonah Williams.
All right, Jonah Williams to Tags at 14. Paul, what do you think about that pick?
Yeah, I mean, I think I love Jonah Williams' versatility. I think he's a plug and play there. You know, some people think he, you know, came out this week that some people think he could be an all pro center. If he doesn't pan out a tackle, he can be an all pro guard. So, I mean, he's probably in the handful of guys who I think can't miss at least a guaranteed, like, 7-8 year starter. I think you know 100% of what you're getting in him. And I think, you know, Tags is right. I think him and Matthews would be a great long-term pairing there on that O-line. I think there is a couple of defensive guys that could have intrigued the Falcons and would have intrigued me if I was picking for them. But I think Williams fills a need, a great value, and, you know, also, like we said, very safe and long-term starter in this league.
All right, we've got Washington picking at 15 for you, Paul. Are we going to see another quarterback coming off the board here?
I think we are, because my philosophy always is I don't like the idea of pushing the quarterback problem to the next year, because everyone looks at next year's class and thinks, oh, it's going to be a great class. And I'm not so sure it is. I think there could be two guys who are maybe top 10 guys, and that might be it. So,
and maybe not even that. I mean, how many times have we seen this where guys just crumble and become nobodies?
Yeah. I mean, and Herbert's going to get, you know, critiqued a lot next year, and people are going to try to continue to find flaws. We start to show some signs of weakness finally after, you know, a fantastic start to his collegiate career. And who's to say there's not more teams in the top of the draft next year that are in need of quarterbacks? And then you'd have to be right at the top, or, you know, be willing to mortgage like 3 first-round picks. And, you know, it's kind of the same philosophy with the Giants. And, you know, Alex Smith might never play football again. And that's the approach that I'm taking here as the Redskins GM. So I'm going to select quarterback out of Missouri, Drew Lock. I think he needs a little bit of developmental time. They brought over Case Keenum, so I think Case Keenum could be a bridge for, you know, maybe 6 games, 8 games. I think Drew Lock is a little bit more of a late first round value, but quarterbacks always get pushed up the board a little bit. I see some Matthew Stafford in him in terms of his athleticism and his arm talent. I think he's got some accuracy issues that he's got to fix. Not all that dissimilar to Matthew Stafford had when he came out of Georgia. So there's a lot of things I like about Lock. His moxie, his leadership really seemed to impress people at the Senior Bowl. And that arm talent, you can't teach that, but he does have to, you know, harness that accuracy a little bit. I think Gruden is a really good, you know, guy that works well with quarterbacks and maximizes their abilities. So I think it would be a good fit and good for our coach and Jim.
All right, Tags, you've got pick number 16 with Carolina. Which direction are you going?
I legitimately hate this spot in the draft right now for the Panthers, just because, like, the positions of need for them, it's getting really thin in terms of, like, I feel like I'd be reaching for some of the players.
Hey, make a trade with me, man, if you want. Philadelphia will move up.
What are they offering?
What do you want? I'm not trading one of my seconds to move up 9 spots.
I would require a second.
I thought that would be the case. If you want to move back, you know what you get. You know what you got to do.
Yeah, no, I'll take, because the thing is like, I know if I don't take this player here, I might regret it, just because, like, There's a chance that another player comes off the board then, and I'd be like really in a mess. They need an edge rusher. Replacing Julius Peppers is obviously very, very important, and Bruce Irvin is not the answer. Okay, we don't even know if he's going to show up. Whatever, Bruce Irvin he's a has been at this point. That's not the answer. So I'm going to go and take Rashawn Gary here out of Michigan. I like him as a player. It's just weird drafting a guy when you understand that he was somewhat playing out of position, but I feel like he offers some versatility. And knowing that the Panthers and Ron Rivera have talked about potentially moving to somewhat of a 3-4, maybe doing a hybrid 4-3, 3-4, kind of mixing and matching going forward, moving away from Rivera's usual 4-man front. And doing that, I think Rashawn Gary gives you, he could play end in a 3-4, he could play end in a 4-3, he could play either or. So I don't think that he's like an edge rusher that needs to play outside linebacker in a 3-4 or anything. So I'm going to take Rashawn Gary here. I just feel like if I don't take him, I'm going to be looking at some really bad options. I can't wait till the second round to grab an edge rusher.
This is a good spot for Gary. I'm not exactly sure it's a fit. Paul, do you see him more as an edge rusher or a defensive tackle at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Gary's one of the most polarizing prospects in this entire class because I think Tag said it best. I think he can play 4-3 defensive end. He can play 3-4 defensive end. I also love him in a 4-3 kicking inside to defensive tackle and sub packages, just getting after the quarterback.
I like him best there.
And I do think he could also stand up with his freaky athleticism at his size and be a little bit of an edge rusher in a 3-4 scheme as well as like that, you know, outside linebacker. It's just his traits are really elite level. His athleticism really elite level. It's just it doesn't make sense how it didn't transition to more production at the collegiate level. But I think this is tremendous value. I mean, you're still seeing him, you know, mocked at times in the top five. Yeah, I've seen still San Francisco at 2 and Oakland at 4. So, you know, I think the Giants very much could be looking at him at 6 if they, you know, don't take the quarterback. So I think the value is tremendous.
So you were really hoping then, Paul, that with the Giants picking next, that Gary would drop.
I was, but there was one guy I had ahead of him. So I had two guys ready to go for pick 17 because as much as the Giants need quarterback help, they need edge help equally as much. You know, after trading Olivier Vernon, all they have is Lorenzo Carter and Marcus Golden on a one-year deal, seeing if he can come back and prove to be healthy. So I'm taking a guy who I think is one of the better edge prospects in the class. I think he is not that far off Josh Allen in the same conversation as Montez Sweat, and that's Brian Burns out of Florida State. Good size. He came in better frame than people expected at the combine. Great athleticism, great bend, first step. I think he's better in a 3-4 as an edge rusher, and that's more of what the Giants have been transitioning to, you know, with James Betcher. So I think this fits their scheme perfectly. I think it fills their biggest need now at the quarterback. And if the Giants came away with Dwayne Haskins and Brian Burns, I think they tackle their two biggest needs, but also get good value for both of those picks.
I'll tell you guys what. Here I was thinking Brian Burns might drop to me later in the draft. I feel like I'm higher on Burns than everyone else, but I guess that's not the case.
Yeah, Burns, I'm high on him too. And like to know that he came into the combine, he added some weight. It didn't affect his athleticism at all. He looked fantastic. And people told me, because I mocked Brian Burns to the Falcons, actually. I think it was like maybe not this most recent mock, but I did. And some people were like, there's no way that Brian Burns goes in the first round. I'm like, I don't know why he shouldn't. And then his combine performance definitely didn't hurt his stock. So I like the pick. I like Brian Burns a lot.
Yeah, I just want to jump in real quick before I mention we were talking about Jonah Williams when you took him for Atlanta. That was the guy. And I hadn't even seen you had done that mock with him going there. But Burns was the guy who, if I was picking for Atlanta, I would have been torn between Jonah Williams and Brian Burns. And I might have even leaned Brian Burns to kind of give that defense another piece, another weapon to kind of go after the quarterback, tack McKinley on one side and Burns on the other.
All right, guys, this one's difficult for me. I've got pick 18 with the Minnesota Vikings. I'm looking offensive line, and my boy Andre Dillard is still there. Are you guys as high on Dillard? Obviously, you're not as high on Dillard as I am, but, I mean, do you guys think he could sneak into the top 10?
I don't think so.
He's been rising up boards for a while now, and he's my favorite offensive lineman in this class.
I just think that there's too many good, like, really, 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 really good defensive players for him to sneak into the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with that as well, but I do think that on teams' boards, Dillard, Taylor, and Jonah Williams, I think if we were allowed to see every single team's draft boards, I would not be surprised if there's very little similarity between boards in terms of who the top offensive linemen are in this class. I could easily see some teams having Dillard, a bunch of teams having Williams, and a bunch of teams having Taylor. So I think it's possible if a team takes an offensive lineman in the top 10, I don't think it's that crazy of an idea that it could be Dillard over Jonah or Juwan Taylor, but I think he's probably more in that 10 to 20 range is his ideal landing spot, but I don't think it's crazy.
I'm not taking Dillard here, however. They also need defensive tackle help, and number 7 guy on my big board, Christian Wilkins out of Clemson, is still available, so I'm going to go ahead and add him to the Minnesota Vikings.
So you're not taking Dillard?
No, I'm not taking Dillard. Let's let him fall.
Oh, wow. I already put him in.
Sorry, man.
All right. Yeah, they do need defensive tackle, so I'm okay with that pick. I just think the defensive tackle is something they could find in the second round. So I'm happy you took that because it's like they're...
I think they could, but Christian Wilkins, man, I've got him pretty high in my board, so I was astonished to see him there.
You know what's funny is I like Clelin Ferrell so much, and I think Christian Wilkins is overrated.
Oh, yeah, you would think that.
Paul, what's your take on Christian Wilkins? Can you be the tiebreaker here? I just think he's overrated.
I like him. I like him. I think he's...
Yeah, baby.
I think he is not that far behind Ed Oliver in terms of that penetrating pre-tech. So I think the mid-teens.
Okay, well, I disagree with that. I like Ed Oliver so much. So it sounds like we've all got our boys.
Yeah, definitely do.
Man, we still have not seen a wide receiver come off the board. And frankly, I'm not even sure who the first one's going to be. N'Keal Harry, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, maybe even Marquise Brown.
Yeah, that's crazy that no wide receivers come off the board yet, but I have a feeling that's going to be coming soon.
Yeah, you're up right now with Tennessee tags. Is that where you're going?
I'm not taking another receiver. I'm not going to give Marcus Mariota another chance to screw things up. You know, if there was a quarterback here, I'd be taking one. Mariota, I feel like he's holding back the franchise a little bit. I go through every team, you know, when I do my mock drafts, and I look at the roster, I break down the depth chart, and I look at it, and honestly, the Titans do not have many holes in their roster. Like, most people would be shocked to hear that, and that's why people are like, oh, Mariota, you have a new offensive system. This team is very talented. They're deep at a lot of positions. They have, like, maybe not deep, but top-heavy for sure. The one spot I wish I could have gone here is corner. I feel like they can use a cornerback but they have invested. Like, Adoree Jackson's good. Malcolm Butler was terrible to start the year, got better as it went on. Logan Ryan's fine in the slot, so I don't think it's like a pressing need right now. So it's almost like I have to look and say, we just got rid of Josh Klein. We signed Roger Saffold for the offensive line, but we lost Quentin Spain too. Well, he's still a free agent, so we still need an offensive guard here. Jack Conklin had a rough start to the year. We're going to take somebody that offers us some versatility with this pick. We are going to go with Cody Ford out of Oklahoma. We feel like that he can play both tackle and guard. A lot of people think that he should be able to transition to the interior. So I believe he can fill one of those spots, play right guard. And if they needed to, if Jack Conklin, you know, for whatever reason, you know, started to let down again, he can move to right tackle if we needed him to. So Cody Ford, welcome to the Titans.
I thought for sure you were going with DeAndre Baker when you were talking about cornerbacks there, man. I don't like Baker very much. And I know Paul doesn't have a first round grade on him either, but
I don't know if I would take him in the first round. I mean, if you're a really cornerback needy team, I guess you could look at him. There's a few other names.
Yeah, he's not even my third favorite cornerback, and we might see my third favorite cornerback later. We'll see. It depends on what's available for Green Bay at 30. All right, so on to pick number 20 with Paul, and you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, so the Steelers here in a tough spot. Biggest needs inside linebacker, but both the Devins gone, not going to go there and reach for a linebacker here. Cornerback, big need for them, but with Greedy Williams and Murphy both gone, Tags was just talking about, I don't like the value of the cornerbacks right here. DeAndre Baker and another guy who may or may not come off the board tonight. Wide receivers, Pittsburgh, very good at developing day two guys. So I don't think they need to reach to be the first team to take a wide receiver. This wasn't even on my list of needs here, but it's just now about value and adding a different dynamic to their offense. I'm going to take TJ Hockenson out of Iowa. You know, obviously Pittsburgh in a little bit of a different transition period here without Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Obviously Juju Smith's going to be a big part of it. Hopefully they get developed James Washington. But Hockenson's my number one tight end. I think he's a guy that obviously can help in the run game in terms of his blocking, but also be a big weapon in the pass game. He reminds me a lot of a slightly more athletic Hunter Henry. I love his ability to immediately come in and be a three-down starter. We've seen Ben Roethlisberger have a lot of success with tight ends and never really have a standout tight end. I mean, Heath Miller was a great, great player, great blocker, put up some solid receiving stats, but a very different type of player than Hockenson. We've seen, you know, other guys go there and be pretty good, have good games here or there, but not on a level of a Hockenson type player. So I'm going to take the value of Hockenson. We've been seeing him, you know, going, you know, some top tens. I thought about him at Buffalo, to be honest with you, all the way at pick 9. So him still being on the board here at 20, I think would be a good fit as they try to transition to a new, different style of offense and maybe a more appropriate offense for Roethlisberger as he, you know, comes to the final, you know, few years of his career.
I'll tell you what, man, Steelers fans should be thrilled if they get Hockenson at 20. And I'm really mad, Paul, because you totally sniped me. Seahawks, we're going to grab him at 21.
Wow.
Hockenson's your favorite tight end, right, Tags?
It depends on what you want.
I mean, there's some really good ones. For fantasy, I like Irv Smith a little bit more. But for Hockenson, you know, best overall football player at the tight end position, I would love to see him on the Steelers.
It really depends. I mean, if you want a moving piece, like, you know, like a move tight end, I think Irv Smith makes a lot of sense. I think Noah Fant makes a lot of sense. Like, those two are the best receivers, I think, in the draft. Irv Smith is a little bit more versatile. You can line him up, you know, in the backfield if you want to. Hockenson's more of the traditional inline tight end who you can move out if you want to, but he's a solid blocker. So I actually, you know what's crazy is if the Steelers are looking at this at the spot on the board, and I think, Paul, I think you set it up perfectly saying that you went through the positions of need, and there's really, you're reaching. reaching if you go to one of those players. And I don't think that they should be reaching. I think they should be taking the best player available. And I think tight end is somewhat of a need because Vance McDonald hasn't been able to stay healthy. And honestly, I don't know if the Steelers actually trust Vance McDonald. Like, Jesse James was on the field an awful lot. Like, McDonald was never a full-time player. So I actually think this pick can actually happen, and it would give Roethlisberger another receiving weapon to get some of those targets that were vacated by Antonio Brown.
All right, there's going to be a trade here. I'm trading with myself because the Chargers are the Chargers need an offensive lineman so bad that I think if Andre Dillard was still sitting there on the board, they would move up. So they're going to trade pick 28 and their third round pick to move up seven spots with Seattle. Seattle will move back to pick 28. They have so many needs, right? Cornerback, defensive tackle, offensive lineman, tight end, safety. There's going to be someone good there for them, but the Chargers are going to go ahead and grab Andre Dillard now.
That actually makes sense. In the Seahawks, that's what they do. They trade back. That's a good trade. The Chargers missing out on a defensive tackle. I wonder if they can land one in the second. I still think they need a tackle. But I don't mind the pick because I do believe that they need a right tackle. So I'm on the board with the Ravens, and this is terrible. So I wanted to move up to take a linebacker. This defense has lost so many pieces. It's ridiculous. And I know so many people are literally in their cars right now screaming, take a receiver. But here's the problem. The Ravens don't have a second round pick. Okay, like when you don't have a second round pick, you don't have a starting inside linebacker. You just lost your two best edge rushers. Like, it's a problem. There's a whole lot of problems here. So it's like, I don't know what I can do because like, do I reach at linebacker? I feel like Trey Lamar out of Clemson, I feel like it's reaching to go here, but I know he's not going to last into the third round. It's not going to happen. So, or do I take an edge rusher here? The top edge rushers are off the board already. So it's getting really ugly. They have cornerbacks locked down. They signed Earl Thomas. Man, I'm torn right now. I'm debating, and this is the hardest pick for me. I'm debating going with a guard here, debating it because it's like, do I build around Lamar Jackson? But again, I just feel like we need a piece for our defense, and all Harbaugh does is churn out excellent front seven players. So I'm going to believe that he turns Trey Lamar into a baller and that he could be considered the next CJ Mosley. I'm not saying he's going to be, but I'm saying he will be competent, and they need a linebacker. They can't go wait until the third round to snag their starting linebacker. So I'm going to go with Trey Lamar here. I know it's a reach. I don't love it, but that's where I'm at.
Do you have a first round grade on Lamar, Paul?
No, I kind of have him on the round three, round four border. So it's a little bit, but this linebacker class is very weak. I don't think there's going to be a lot of linebackers on day two to begin with.
And the Ravens just get their guys, right? We've seen this time and time again.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If I was picking a linebacker, I would have went with Mack Wilson. He would have been the next linebacker I would have probably taken. But I think when you get to then day two, Lamar's in the mix with only a few other guys. I think you're going to see very few linebackers go in the top 100. I wouldn't be that surprised. You know, true off the ball linebackers, maybe four or five, and then you're going to see a whole bunch more than probably on, you know, day three.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see here. We've got the next pick. Is Houston, and Paul, you've got this one.
Yeah, so Houston, basically, I feel like I need to take an offensive lineman with every single pick in the draft for the Houston Texans,
yes.
Because if not, Deshaun Watson is not going to make it through the season. So there's been a lot of guys taken, but I do think this is a very deep draft for offensive linemen. I was hoping Cody Ford or Dillard kind of fell right into their laps, but since they're not, I'm going to pivot away from the tackle position right now, and I'm going to get a guy who I think is the best center in the class, but also versatile enough to play guard, and that's Garrett Bradbury out of NC State. Love his athleticism, quickness, good play strength, good technique, immediate starter center, but can play like that guard. He can get out on the move, so you know if they want to run you know where they pull him, you can do that with Garrett Bradbury. I think he's a plug-and-play guy and immediately starts to upgrade that offensive line where they pretty much need across the board upgrades.
You're exactly right about that. I think they got the worst offensive line in the league right now. And, you know, Houston fans, any team, whenever you draft an offensive lineman, especially a center or a guard, right, you're always super mad. But think of it this way. You're not getting a center. You're getting an extra six games of Deshaun Watson. So I think that's a very nice pick.
I have no issue with the pick. They definitely need to go offensive line. I probably would have went Kajusti there, but I like Lindstrom.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go Lindstrom is when you started talking about it.
Yeah, but the thing is, a lot of people like Bradbury, and he got talked up at the combine, so I imagine he probably will be a late first-round pick, early second. But all right, so now we're on to the Oakland Raiders, and yeah, this one is going to be pretty easy, actually, now that things have kind of fallen the way that they have. I do have this pick, and then I have another pick, and, you know, just a few picks later, three picks later.
Don't you even think about it.
No, so since we didn't re-sign Jared Cook, we have a clear need at tight end, and Hockenson probably would have been a better fit for what we needed, but we're gonna draft Noah Fant here and take him as our Jared Cook replacement, and kind of we're giving Derek Carr all the weapons he needs to succeed.
All right, so Noah Fant off the board as the second tight end going to Oakland. I think that's a really good fit, and it makes me really happy because with Philadelphia, I was sweating it out. There's still no wide receivers taken. Philadelphia has a clear need at wide receiver, so I've got some deciding to do. My top guy on the board is N'Keal Harry. I think A.J. Brown fits into what they need a little bit more just on the type of offense that they run, and he's just that a better possession receiver, in my opinion. So I'm going to go ahead and grab A.J. Brown here for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I like A.J. Brown, and if you were going to pick a receiver, I'd say actually he made the most sense. You know, I don't like Harry. I mean, he's not, I've already done my like third round on him, and I'm like trying to find things that like people are seeing as the number one receiver. I'm not seeing it, but I think AJ Brown presents like a big slot receiver, and they've used that. Like, you know, you had Nelson Agholor playing that role, and can they upgrade that? Yeah, for sure. They can. And they have DeSean Jackson out there now to spread the field. They have Alshon Jeffrey, who's still there. So AJ Brown slotting in is the big slot. I think if I were to pick a wide receiver, he'd probably be the one that I would have picked to them. I don't know if I still think that they're probably going to go defense with that pick. Either that, or do they finally get their running back? Do they reach for a running back here in the first round?
Where do you see them going? Cornerback?
I've gone back and forth, and I think after re-signing Darby, that I wouldn't think they'll do that. I still think that they're going to look for an inside linebacker. Like, that's like the biggest need. LJ Fort is not going to fill that. I would say a safety, because Corey Graham, as far as I know, they haven't re-signed him, so they need another safety. There's still, the top safeties are on the board, so I don't know if they'd go wide receiver, but I think if they did, I think that AJ Brown was the best selection for him.
Paul, who's your favorite wide receiver in the draft class and for Philadelphia?
My number one wide receiver is A.J. Brown, so he would have been the pick there for me as well. You know, the fact that they were able to bring back DeSean Jackson, and he's probably going to be there for a couple years, gave him that vertical component. If they didn't make that move, then I think maybe DK Metcalf or even Marquise Hollywood Brown would have been the pick to kind of complement what they had there already with Alshon Jeffrey. But I kind of think now with DeSean, Alshon, and then A.J. Brown, they kind of complement each other well, the vertical guy, more of the guy. I think A.J. Brown's best position is a big slot. It's very similar to Juju Smith. And then Alshon Jeffrey, more of that like flanker Z position. So I think they kind of complement each other well. And I think it was important for them to get DeSean back to be that vertical guy who can stretch the field.
All right, at number 26, Paul, you've got this pick, and it is the Indianapolis Colts. Everyone's talking about the Browns. It may be the Colts who are best positioned to be that surprise contender this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think after the draft Chris Ballard had last year, I think he could afford a little bit of risk here. And I know you mentioned the name before.
No.
And this, I had 26 targeted for this guy. I think he is top 10, top 12 worthy.
Hold on. Before you make the pick, do you want to trade it to me maybe?
No, I like the value here. I'm taking Jeffrey Simmons out of Mississippi State. I think, you know, listen, obviously his situation off the field is something that happened, I believe, before he went into college. He wasn't able to participate at the combine because of it. So he's been a little out of sight, out of mind. But I think this guy is a guy that has Fletcher Cox-like upside and ability. Rare combination of size, speed, athleticism, and power. I think he's a guy who would fit into that defense, really, you know, give them another defensive weapon there and defensive piece, you know, and kind of just keep building what they got going there. And I think Simmons would be great value here at the end of round one. And I expect him, this is kind of the range where I kind of expect him somewhere in that 20 to 32 range to come off the board.
I think somebody will reach for him because it's pretty clear what his value is. I mean, he would have been a top 5 or 6 player on my big board if not for the injury. With that said, I mean, I think the Colts are the perfect landing spot. Do you agree, Tags?
I do. I think that it was an awesome pick. I have Jeffrey Simmons ahead of Christian Wilkins for what it's worth. So I think he's a better football player.
I don't really have that much of a problem with it. And you know, I like Wilkins just fine. But man, Jeffrey Simmons is a stud. All right. Next pick is Oakland. And Tags, that's you.
Yeah, we're back in the clock. You know, we signed LaMarcus Joyner, so we don't really have a safety need, even though the top safeties are out there. Cornerback is, I don't feel like taking one here. Linebacker is really thin. I got my edge rusher. and Clelin Ferrell up at the top. So we filled the tight end role. There's things that we could use, but like I'm going to go with...
You need to knock Tyrell Williams out of the starting lineup. That's what you're doing, right?
We are essentially setting up this team for the next quarterback, okay? Because I don't believe that Derek Carr is the answer. And I feel like this is a team that we do have, you know, we have multiple first-round picks again. We're going to have 3 first-round picks again next year because I still have the one from the Bears next year. I'll have ours. And then I also... got, you know, moving back to pick number 6, I have the Giants first pick next year, and that's probably going to be a good one. Let's be real about it. I'm looking really good. I'm setting myself up for our franchise quarterback, and we're setting up with all the tools. So I'm going to build this offensive line. After trading away Assemelie, we're going to draft Chris Lindstrom, offensive guard out of Boston College, to help protect our future quarterback.
All right. I do not have a problem with that whatsoever. And I am now up with Seattle. I was going to take Simmons, kind of figured he wasn't going to drop. The best safety still on the board. Well, no safeties have been drafted, but Nasir Adderley is my top safety. Is that who you guys have as well?
I do. Him and Taylor Rapp are 1-2 for me. But
you don't like Jonathan Abram?
Yeah, he's next. I think he's got some coverage limitations, though, so I'd prefer to guys with Adderley and Rapp. And then I think people are sleeping on Deontay Thompson a little bit because he...
I was about to say, nobody mentioned him. I'm like, he's right up there with Adderley for me. Rapp is, he's close, but the level of competition was a little bit less.
They're all about the same. I've got Adderley as my number one, however, coming out of Delaware. He's polished. He's ready to roll. And I think Seattle can still compete. I mean, anytime you have Russell Wilson, you can compete. They have a lot of holes on their team, but by moving back, hopefully they can, you know, picking up that extra third round pick, maybe they can fill another one of those holes. So Nasir Adderley going to Seattle. It's Paul's pick with the Kansas City Chiefs at 29.
The Chiefs pick here, very intriguing. They desperately need an edge rusher. They lost both Justin Houston and Dee Ford. I just don't see the value here. There's a couple guys of intrigue in Jalen Ferguson and Christian Miller and DeAndre Walker, but I don't love Ferguson as much as some people do. I think he's more of like a mid-second round guy than a, you know, round one, round two guy on the turn. And Miller and Walker, too, I believe are more, you know, mid-round two guys as well. Could be pushed up a little bit either way. I'm going to hedge my bets here, and I'm gonna make this pick as if Tyreek Hill is not a member of the Kansas City Chiefs this year or not playing for the Kansas City Chiefs this year if he's suspended. So I'm going to take the guy who I think is much as a clone to him as possible, and their offense could do similar things, and I'm going to take Marquise Hollywood-Brown out of Oklahoma. I like him for that offense a little bit more than DK Metcalf. I think what DK Metcalf brings to the table, I think Sammy Watkins could do a lot of that vertically down the field, win in those regards. I think Hollywood Brown offers a little bit more versatility to get him the ball in space, but also be able to take the top off defenses. So I think he would be a more seamless fit for Tyreek Hill if Tyreek Hill is not a part of that offense. So that's my pick. I also thought running back as well as cornerback, but I just didn't like the value, and I think they need a guy who can do some Tyreek Hill like things. I mean, who knows if Marquise Brown's going to be able to seamlessly even remotely do that, but I think they need that a part of their offense. So that's the pick.
I think it's a nice one.
Yeah, I want to say I mocked this. If I didn't, I thought about it. But the reason I say that is because you have to wonder about the Tyreek Hill situation. The Chiefs already need a wide receiver. Chris Conley's gone. They need a third wide receiver. They do run a lot of three wide receiver sets. Marquise Brown makes tons of sense because he can play in the slot. He can play outside.
There's no question marks about Marquise Brown.
There is his foot. And that's the thing is like, that's my only hesitance on it is that Sammy Watkins, obviously they've signed him to a big deal, so they're not too concerned about feet. But foot injuries for wide receivers are not great, so having Marquise Brown and Sammy Watkins on the field at the same time just feels scary to me. But in a sense, from like the logic behind it, it makes all the sense.
All right, I am up with the Green Bay Packers, and Tags, you made fun of me for drafting Byron Murphy, even though the Packers always take the best player available. So I'm obviously going with a quarterback here, right, guys?
Yeah. And you're fired like immediately.
Yes, I would be. I'm going with a wide receiver, and I don't especially love this player. Another very polarizing one, and I'll be interested to hear Paul's take. Tags, you are going to be so happy when I make this move, because we're pairing a super-duper athlete with Aaron Rodgers, and let's see what we can get DK Metcalf to the Packers.
Love it. I mean, so I hate it as a Bears fan, but I love the fit. I think that he could walk into that Jordy Nelson role, and Davante Adams kind of just does his thing as the possession style receiver, and DK can like take time to hone in his craft and get better, because he's not like a well-rounded wide receiver as of right now, but his ceiling is massive. And with Aaron Rodgers, like with his accuracy and Metcalf's speed over the top and his size, come on. If Metcalf fell to the Packers there, I'd probably just fall out of my chair. We're actually going to be at the draft, Bobby and I, in a non-professional capacity. We're just going to be hanging out, so hopefully we'll be able to meet some people out there. But
speak for yourself, man. I'm going to be working.
But if he falls to the Packers at 30, I think that they would run to the podium and snag him.
Yeah. What do you think about DK Metcalf, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, him, AJ Brown, Marquise Brown, I mean, those are my three of my top four wide receivers. I think the fit here with Metcalf is absolutely perfect. I love the comp to Tag said in terms of filling that Jordy Nelson role. And I think very similar to last year, I loved the Calvin Ridley landing spot with Atlanta because he wasn't going to be asked to be the guy right away and kind of could hone his skills. I don't think DK Metcalf is ready right now to be a number one wide receiver. I think he's got a lot of development, a lot of route development, a lot of route refinement that he's got to do. And it's possible he never completely really refines himself into being that. But what he can do is he can get vertical, he can make plays in the air, and he can use that speed to his ability to win. And now you pair him on the opposite side of Davante Adams, who's going to draw tons of attention, that DK Metcalf on the other side is going to change the entire landscape of that offense for the Packers and for Aaron Rodgers. And you're only going to be able to pay so much attention to DK Metcalf, because if not, you know, if you put too much emphasis on Metcalf, then Davante Adams is just going to go off. I mean, we've seen Davante Adams be able to go off when he was the only guy really, you know, seeing considerable work and targets there for Aaron Rodgers. So I think the fit and the what it could do for that offense could really, be really great.
It would be a fun landing spot. All right, Tags, you've got your last pick now with the Los Angeles Rams. Who are you grabbing?
Yep, they really desperately need a linebacker, and I've been vocal about how there's no linebackers here. That I reached on Trey Lamar. I'm not going to do it again. I know some people like Mac Wilson, but I'm not one of them.
I love Mac Wilson here. You're not picking him?
I don't like him. I don't like him as a player. I mean, I just feel like he's another one that I just feel like he's a bit overrated. But I'm going to go, like, after finding out that Andrew Whitworth might, he was close to retirement, we have to find a left tackle, a solution there. We have to find some, and we have some holes in the offensive line now. Like, we cut John Sullivan. I know Brian Allen, we drafted him last year, and Saffold, we lost him. So we're going to go with Yadni Kajusi out of West Virginia. I feel like he's someone that he may not start out at left tackle, but hopefully we can groom him to take over for Whitworth and protect. He's a very athletic guy. He moves very well for a guy that's 6'5 and 315 pounds. I think that's what he was listed at. So I that's where I'm going. I feel like he shouldn't fall out of the first round.
Guys, before I make my New England Patriots pick, and by the way, does anyone want to trade for it? Because obviously the Patriots would trade back if they could. Anyone?
Negative.
No? All right. I could go quarterback here because Daniel Jones is still on the board, but I don't really love that fit. I've been on record saying Clayton Thorson to the Patriots in the second or third round is an absolute lock. I think he's the perfect quarterback for Bill Belichick. I'm a big Thorson believer. Paul, what do you think about Thorson's tape?
Yeah, I think Thorson's a guy who's intriguing. I think he's more of a round three, round four type quarterback, very developmental. But I think after the top four or five, I think he's in the mix. I mean, I think Daniel Jones, for me, Daniel Jones and Will Greer actually first, and then Daniel Jones round out my top five in connection to the three that obviously have been taken already. But then I think after that, for me, I think, you know, I like Jarrett Stidham a little bit more than Thorson, but I think Thorson is in that mix. A lot of people think that, you know, the surrounding cast is really what held him back there. I have some issues in terms of his accuracy, and, you know, while he fits the prototype in terms of looks, I don't know if his arm talent vertically down the field, I thought, sometimes left a little bit to be desired, even though he fits the prototype in terms of appearances. But it seems like he's got some fans on the NFL level. And the guy who ran the Senior Bowl this year, he said that, you know, when he was making the Senior Bowl invite list, that every single team basically didn't have lower than a third round grade on Clayton Thorson. So he might be higher in the NFL's eyes than maybe what's been out there in the, you know, the people who covered us year round, the draft Twitter people, the Todd McShay and Mel Kuypers and, you know, Dan Jeremiah's. You haven't heard a lot about Clayton Thorson in that realm, or, you know, all the great draft analysts on Twitter as well. But maybe him talking to NFL teams, they maybe were a little bit more intrigued with him than maybe people have been realizing.
Apparently his intangibles are extremely impressive as well. And he just kind of reminds me of Mason Rudolph. And I liked Mason Rudolph last year. And we'll see if he gets a chance after Big Ben retires, if he ever does. I think it's right around the corner. But yeah, Patriots, I don't have them taking a quarterback here because I have them waiting for Thorson. So what I'm going to do is just the Patriots thing. They could go tight end here and get Irv Smith Jr., but I'm going to go get Dexter Lawrence, another defensive lineman. That's probably what they need the most besides wide receiver. I could go N'Keal Harry here, but they'll figure something out at wide receiver. I'm going to go grab Dexter Lawrence.
I really like that pick when you mentioned a few minutes ago if anybody wanted to trade up. I almost offered the Giants' second-round pick, which was at 37, and then like a fourth and a fifth to see if you were interested in sliding back a little bit for those fourth and fifth. If I did make that offer, Lawrence was the guy I was going to come up for to try to finish the Giants' D-line that he would complement B.J. Hill and Dalvin Tomlinson well, obviously. They're looking to go to that 3-4, and that would kind of give them three big-bodied guys there. But Hill and Lawrence got a little bit more athleticism, while Tomlinson is more of just a run setter.
Tags, it sounds like you don't like him so much because he got in the way of Clelin Ferrell. I'm just messing with you, man.
No, I don't have any issues with Dexter Lawrence. Like, he's more of like a 3-4 nose tackle. Like, he's a plugger, that guy. I would have liked to see that, and I've mocked him here the last two times I've done it. And Chase Winovich out of Michigan, I feel like he's just like perfect for the Patriots. Like, I just feel like he'd mesh well in that team. Like, he's a high effort guy. Belichick knows how to take guys and, you know, find what they do well and maximize that. And I think that, you know, the energy that Winovich brings to the table, I don't know if there's anybody else in the draft that can match it. You might also see them look at someone like a Zach Allen.
Yeah, it was between him and Zach Allen and Irv Smith Jr. there.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I just feel like their defense has lost some pieces between Malcolm Brown, Danny Shelton, and Trey Flowers. That I know they signed Pennell, but Michael Bennett, but I still feel like that the front seven is usually a priority for them.
Paul, who are the top guys left on your board after the first round?
Go players, Josh Jacobs. I was surprised he would have been in consideration for me if I was picking for the Eagles. So he's the only running back. Irv Smith Jr., I think late first, early second is his appropriate value. He would have been there. No other wide receivers. Early second is kind of where I think best fit for N'Keal Harry, and then like Deebo Samuel and Hakeem Butler and Calvin Harmon, who I like a lot, who's one of my top rated guys, you know, for my own personal board, even though it sounds like his value in terms of the NFL eyes has fallen a little bit. O-line is a whole group of guys who I think could have been in the mix. Dalton Risner out of Kansas State, Caleb McGarry out of Washington.
I love Risner.
Yeah, Eric McCoy out of Texas A&M. I think those three guys are potential late first, early second round guys. You picked Dexter Lawrence. He was the only other guy on the D-line. I mentioned Jalen Ferguson before. I think people are talking him up late first. I don't necessarily agree with that.
I was going to ask you about him because I've got him way down at like number 55 on my big board. Jalen Ferguson.
Yeah, I mean, the production's great, but I think that production is a little bit based on the level of competition. You know, his pro day numbers, nothing like popped out at the page. Like, you know, you see Montez Sweat, you see Rashawn Gary, you see Brian Burns. Those guys kind of pop off the page. If I'm taking a guy from a lower level school like Louisiana Tech, I kind of want the metrics in terms of the production. So I don't want like average, you know, athleticism and then good production. I kind of feel like I want both if I'm investing that high of a pick. So I don't really see an edge guy there. Cornerback, we didn't mention them. We mentioned DeAndre Baker, but I think Rocky Sin is in the mix there at the end of round one.
While we're at cornerback, I want to ask you about my guy because I thought about pulling the trigger with Green Bay, but, you know, with Metcalf on the board, I didn't do it. This is a third round guy. I think Justin Lane is going to last until the third, but I love him so much. I would take him at the end of the first with Green Bay if Metcalf wasn't on the board.
Yeah, I don't think he lasted a third. I think he's going round two. So I think your like for him is warranted. I think
he's my number three cornerback. I like him more than DeAndre Baker.
Yeah, I think after Greedy Williams and Byron Murphy, I think between Yasin, DeAndre Baker, Trayvon Mullen, Just Lane, and then Julian Love and Notre Dame, I think those are the guys. And I haven't watched too much of him, but apparently Sean Bunting out of Central Michigan is a guy climbing up the boards. I had him as a kind of like a round three, round four turn, but it sounds like between his combine and the latest buzz is that he could be going in the top 40 or top 50 picks, whether that's because it's a kind of a down cornerback year, not so sure. I think he's a good player.
Falcons second round, Sean Bunting. That's, I kid you not, before even this buzz became around him, I'm telling you, I think that he's a perfect fit there to fill the slot role.
Yeah, I could see that being a good fit. And then we mentioned some of the safeties before.
Yeah, there's some good ones there.
Rapp, Thompson.
Even Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I could see him going at the end of the first round. Wouldn't be shocked at all by that. Tags, what do you think about Justin Lane?
Lane, I haven't watched too much tape on him, to be honest with you. I like JoJuan Williams out of Vanderbilt. I like him a lot. He's someone that not many people talk about. Bunting, I do like. I like Gardner-Johnson. I feel like the Colts and him are a perfect marriage. I feel like he's someone that should go there. Lane, I have him like right after that tier, he's a player that I've only gone through. I think I've watched 2 games on him. So it's
his athleticism and length. That combination is unbelievable. Former high end wide receiver recruit. He's a little bit raw, but I feel like he's someone who could be, you know, if he's drafting the second, third round, he could be an all pro guy eventually.
Well, after hearing you guys saying that, like, you know, Paul telling me that he thinks he's a second round pick, I need to obviously look closer because I thought I had those guys locked down. But obviously Lane is someone maybe I just need to watch a bigger sample.
Yeah, Zach Allen was the top guy left on my board right there with N'Keal Harry. I have this problem that it's been bugging me the entire podcast. So I've got, you know, I'm in the middle of a move right now and I've got this frozen pizza. It's the only thing in my house, right? And it's sitting there waiting for me. I don't have a pizza cutter. So I'm trying to wonder, like, how am I going to eat this thing? Do I just eat it like it's a giant bagel? Do I turn it into roll it up like a burrito? Do I just like peel it apart or just go in? I don't know what to do, guys.
Do you have a scissor?
Yeah, I mean, I do have a scissor, but that sounds gross.
You've never seen, like, I've seen people do that at their houses. They have like scissors they use to cut the pizza. Man. Yeah, I don't do it. Like, I have pizza cutters, but I've seen it happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking I'm going to try the burrito route. And if I make a big mess, at least I had a pizza burrito and no one else can really see that.
Do like a calzone, just fold it in half and eat it that way.
I don't know, man. A pizza's pretty big for a calzone, dude. Calzones are like all tucked in on themselves and pinched down.
I'm just jealous that you're eating pizza and I'm not.
I think the more important question is, do you have butter at least?
Yeah, I don't do butter on frozen pizzas, guys. I'm not that crazy. It has to be like an artisan pizza. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like artichoke hearts and everything. Okay, we'll be done talking about this. This was a really fun draft. I'm just going to run through the big board one more time. I don't know why I keep calling it the big board. This is the draft board. Arizona took Nick Bosa at number 1. Number 2, Quinnen Williams to the 49ers. Josh Allen at number 3 to the Jets. Dwayne Haskins, the Giants traded up for him at number 4. Kyler Murray to the Dolphins at number 5. Clelin Ferrell to the Oakland Raiders at number 6. Ed Oliver to the Jags at number 7. Greedy Williams to the Lions at 8. Jawan Taylor to the Bills at 9, and Devin White rounding out the top 10 to Denver. If you want to check out the rest, you can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. And thanks also to the sponsor of today's show, pristineauction.com. That's PRISTINE. And make sure to sign up for our signed Davante Adams helmet giveaway at fantasypros.com/contest. For Paul Perticchese and Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of love, your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble. I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.